Men looked at each other as if amazed to find themselves alive, and I could even let go of the steering oar because the mast, with the big yard and the remnants of its sail still attached, was holding us steady. I found my body aching. I was soaked through, must have been cold, but did not notice. Leofric came to stand beside me. Heyhingle's prow was facing eastward, but we were travelling westward, driven backward by the tide and wind, and I turned to make certain we had sea room, and then touched Leofric's shoulder and pointed toward the shore, where we saw a fleet dying. The Danes had been sailing south, following the shore from the pool's entrance to the rearing headland, and that meant they were on a lee shore, and in that sudden resurgence of the storm, they stood no chance. Ship after ship was being driven ashore. A few had made it past the headland, and another handful were trying to row clear of the cliffs, but most were doomed. We could not see their deaths, but I could imagine them. The crash of hulls against rocks, the churning water breaking through the planks, the pounding of sea and wind and timber on drowning men, dragon prows splintering and the halls of the sea god filling with the souls of warriors. And though they were the enemy, I doubt any of us felt anything but pity. The sea gives a cold and lonely death. Ragnar and Breda. I just gazed, but could not distinguish one ship from another through the rain and broken sea. We did watch one ship, which seemed to have escaped, suddenly sink. One moment she was on a wave, spray flying from her hull, oars pulling her free. And next, she was just gone. She vanished. Other ships were banging one another, oars tangling and splintering. Some tried to turn and run back to the pool, and many of those were driven ashore, some on the sands and some on the cliffs. A few ships, pitifully few, beat their way clear, men hauling on the oars in a frenzy, but all the Danish ships were overloaded, carrying men whose horses had died, carrying an army we knew not where, and that army now died. We were south of the headland now, being driven fast to the west, and a Danish ship, smaller than ours, came close, and the steersman looked across and gave a grim smile as if to acknowledge there was only one enemy now, the sea. The Dane drifted ahead of us, not slowed by trailing wreckage as we were. The rain hissed down, a malevolent rain stinging on the wind, and the sea was full of planks, broken spars, dragon prows, long oars, shields, and corpses. I saw a dog swimming frantically, eyes white, and for a moment I thought it was Neat Genga, then saw this dog had black ears, while Neat Genga had white. The clouds were the colour of iron, ragged and low, and the water was being shredded into streams of white and green black, and the Heyhingle reared to each sea, crashed down into the troughs, and shook like a live thing with every blow. But she lived. She was well built. She kept us alive, and all the while we watched the Danish ships die, and Father Willibald prayed. Oddly, his sickness had passed. He looked pale and doubtless felt wretched, but as the storm pummeled us, his vomiting ended, and he even came to stand beside me, steadying himself by holding onto the steering oar. "Who is the Danish god of the sea?" he asked me over the wind's noise. "Njord," I shouted back. He grinned. "You pray to him and I'll pray to God." I laughed. "If Alfred knew you'd said that, you'd never become a bishop." "I won't become a bishop unless we survive this, so pray." I did pray, and slowly, reluctantly, the storm eased. Low clouds raced over the angry water, but the wind died, and we could cut away the wreckage of mast and yard and unship the oars and turn Heyhingle to the west and row through the flotsam of a shattered war fleet. A score of Danish ships were in front of us, and there were others behind us, but I guessed that at least half their fleet had sunk, perhaps more, and I felt an immense fear for Ragnar and Breda,